What's up, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of It's Brewing at McEwen, and we got a full house here tonight. I'm your host, Adam Cartwright, and with me, as always on Monday nights, is going to be Matt Giardino. Matt, how are you doing tonight, bud?
Doing awesome. Another big AAC weekend series dub. Can't complain about that. Would have liked to have gotten the sweep on Sunday. We saw our guys fight back pretty hard, but ultimately we'll take that 2 out of 3 every time.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, we have a full house here. Joining us is our our other half, our Thursday night crew. They're jumping in with us on the Monday night. I'll start with John. How are you doing tonight, bud?
We are doing all right. I'm just twiddling my thumb waiting for more USF baseball.
Absolutely. We got some great hands on deck. Well, last but certainly not least is our fearless leader, Mark. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. It's really fun to have all four of us on the same show. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, we do have a jam-packed show for you tonight, Bulls fans. We're going to start with our weekend review of the Charlotte series. Fantastic series. We're also going to, again, look at the AAC standings as things start to shape out. The movers are movers, the shakers are shaken. We're going to get a clearer picture as we move forward. We'll then have to take a look at our pick-ems. Somebody, this guy, had a much better week, so we're going to see how everybody else did. And then we're going to preview the weekend series with Wichita State again as we have our second half with us tonight. Without further ado, guys, let's get right into it. Thursday, and we had a Thursday Saturday series, which did play into some of the awkwardness. We had a little bit different of a rotation. We did get a win on Thursday night. It was a fantastic extra inning battle, 5-4. Again, a little bit different. Didn't have Braun as we usually do. Austin Newton gets his first start. Bryce Archie and Landon York also make appearances with York picking up the win. As we always start with the pitchers, we'll start with a guest as well. John, or not a guest, just a guest on Monday nights. John, what did you think about the pitching?
It was a little bit of a surprise to see Braun get pushed back for me. But I think we were just trying to keep him on schedule for Friday night starts. Not gonna lie, that scared me a little bit until we got to see Braun go on Friday. I thought Newton was efficient and effective. I think that he's continuing to get stretched out. I like seeing him jump up from 3 to 4 innings. He had one shaky inning. His strikeout numbers are gonna keep going up, but honestly, just to see Newt continue to progress in his rehab back, just getting stretched out, and I think the best is yet to come with him. And then Bryce Archie, we've seen that Coach Hannes has a preference in bringing him in the second half of games, and with the hope that he can go 4 to 5 innings, and he's been very effective in that role. And I loved what I saw out of both of them for sure. It was a well-pitched game.
Yeah, it was a little bit different rotation. I actually had to kind of take my foot out of my mouth because I made a post about getting to see Braun versus Gillespie and then never even happened. But, Mark, just building off that, what did you think about the pitching?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, that was the one game of the series I got to be at in person this week, and it was just great to see Austin Newton. I mean, to me, you can clearly see why he was projected to be in the opening weekend starting rotation. I mean, he's sitting like 94, 95 with sync. And apparently in the fall, he was even up to 98 with sync. So, I mean, you could see that might be still coming down the pipeline. I even checked out the advanced stats on D1 baseball. He's already inducing ground balls at like a 55% rate, which is exactly what you want to see from a sinker pitcher. And he's 4 innings, two earned runs. I mean, that's solid, and it's only going to get better. Bryce Archie, I had no idea really when we were going to see him this week, because he didn't pitch the previous weekend, and to see him on Thursday was pretty cool. And you got to also tip the cap to Landon Yorick, who had a rough ninth inning where I think he surrendered the lead, but ultimately had a good 10th inning and gave us a chance to win the game in the bottom of the 10th. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good to see Austin Newton in his debut. Again, we're going to start seeing him get stretched out and play into that starting role. We'll round us out on the pitching, Matt. What stood out to you?
Yeah, I think the number one thing that stood out was Austin Newton. I think one of the things that really makes me happy to see is that he went those 4 innings without giving up a walk either. Anytime that you can come back from injury and immediately show that you have the ability to control your pitches, I think is a really good sign. And he built off of his last outing where he went 30 pitches. This time he went 45. You could see that progression that he's currently making. And if he keeps increasing 15 pitches every week until the end of the season, we could have a really solid starting arm for a pretty good amount of innings, which is really great to see, especially seeing how efficient he is.
Absolutely. Well, it was great to see the pitching. It was enough to pick up a win in the end, and then we got it with some offense. 12 hits on the day. Matt, I'll kind of let you bat lead off on this one. And what stood out for you offensively?
I think the number one thing that really stood out was Rafi continues to rake. He had those three hits. He had that walk-off, really big time stuff from him. And also we got to see some really good performances from Ryan Pruitt, and also saw Lance Triple get a couple of base hits. And Marcus Brodil, he keeps being the rock of the lineup with two more base hits and two huge RBIs as well.
Absolutely. Marcus has been fun to watch. He had a really, really big home run in this one. Mark, we'll let you take this one now. What'd you find that was interesting?
Yeah, I love the way that the team came from behind to find a way to win this game on a Friday night, where I'm sorry, technically a Thursday night, but
Gonna be
the
hard.
exactly we're seeing the ace of Charlotte here. This guy's really good. Blake Gillespie, he came into the weekend with some of the best stats in the entire AAC, along with Corey Braun, and that's a game where Charlotte is leading. Going into the seventh inning, 2-1, they have their ace on the mound. They're feeling, like, hey, this is huge for us. We should get a win. They didn't even throw their ace tonight. And what's cool about how we actually ended up tying the game and ultimately taking the lead, it was Carlos Hakame had a really clutch single through the right side, just a little kind of ground ball, kind of seeing eye little. But it was clutch, like it was exactly what was needed at that time. It wasn't trying to do too much. It wasn't swing for the fences. And the same thing with Ryan Pruitt, actually had the RBI single. I mean, he hit the ball about as hard as you would hit it if you bunted. But the thing is, with his speed, little infield dribblers like that are actually a big, threat. And for him to get the RBI like that, I mean, man, it was just so being there in person, you could see how deflating it was for Charlotte to relinquish the lead when they had their ace out there and some of their best relief pitchers. And I know Charlotte ended up reclaiming the lead in the top of the ninth and whatever, but man, like to be able to take the lead when they had their ace out there, it really was a gut punch to Charlotte and kind of set us up well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I felt like as soon as that decision came out, as soon as the disappointment left my body from not getting to see Gillespie versus Braun, I then began to understand and think about the fact that with us not pitching Braun, the pressure moves towards Charlotte because they had to win Friday night. If you don't win Friday night, you are really in the hole, which is what we saw for them. So yeah, that was a really interesting point you bring up. John, clean it up for us, man. What stood out to you offensively?
I'll build a little bit on what everyone else said. Brodell flashing why he's a top 10 batting average in the American. He had two really big hits, and I'm pretty sure one show that Matt and I or Mark and I covered, he was top 10 at some point in the conference in slugging percentage, and him having a double in that home run, I mean, that kind of speaks wonders on that. I'd like to, I mean, as far as things standing out, good and bad, I'd like to see a little bit more from Jackson Mayo because he's really putting a season together. He's left a little bit to be desired over the past five games-ish. And an odd night for Greco as well, but he got back after it later on in the series. So really, I mean, anything else that I would say would just be repeating what the guys said, but I loved seeing multiple few different bulls with multi-hit performances and just that grit that you've been talking about all season long, Adam. I mean, we just continue to show it and we show heart and we never stop fighting, and that's something that I would run through a brick wall for these boys for.
Absolutely. Just to kind of build on what Mark was saying, it was a gut punch, man, because like you said, there were multiple times throughout this game that Charlotte really felt like they were going to win this game. And it felt like going into it, they should have won this game. And when they didn't, again, I think it ripped their soul out. Like, it's one of those that really, really hurts. With that, we will move into Saturday. Another late inning dramatic victory for the Bulls. The cardiac kids this weekend, man, they were really doing something to me. But we did get to see our ace in this one. John, what stood out to you about Braun? I'll let you lead off.
Well, you speak of the gut punch that Charlotte took, but then they come out and they get a few early runs on Braun, and that had me a little bit shook. I was a little bit worried to see what direction the game was going to go. But I mean, he settled down. I think he settled down, ended up going eight strong. He struck out 11 batters. I mean, that just shows the resolve that this kid has. He had a little strut going after a few Ks, and whenever you count this kid out or whenever he's got his back up against the wall, that's when he throws that left hook that clips the jaw and shocks everybody. He keeps coming in week in and week out. There's a reason he is a candidate for Conference Pitcher of the Year. I am floored by his talent, floored by his grit, floored by his fight. I love the kid.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm running out of adjectives to describe Corey Braun. You know, just every time he comes out, he gives us another reason to try to come up with something else. But at the end of the day, he's just a bulldog. It's just an ace. It's just our guy. That's what it is. Matt, I'll let you go with this one, man. What stood out for you pitching wise?
Yeah, I think the remarkable thing about Friday night was the fact that even though Corey Braun didn't have his best stuff, he was still able to go eight complete innings. And he did give up six earned runs, which is uncharacteristic for him. But to add 11 strikeouts, only one walk, there's a little bit of misfortunes that may have taken place, or maybe a pitch or two that he would have liked to have taken back. But ultimately, if this is a bad outing for Corey Braun, then that just says so much for what kind of pitcher he is, and to give us that type of effort when he wasn't on his A game. I'm just blown away by the guy.
Absolutely. Well, he did need somebody to finish it off. Nolan Bedard got in there. Mark, what stood out to you about Nolan in this one? I mean, nearly flawless.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a huge Nolan Bernard fan all season long, really. Even in the beginning of the season, hearing his story of how he's somebody who graduated high school early to come here, he could easily be going to his prom next week, but he's getting big outs for USF baseball, and I really appreciate that about him. He looked really, this was like the best Nolan Bernard I had seen in a little bit. Not that he looked bad lately, but he kind of reminded me of the early season version of him, where he just looked very in command, in control, mound presence really strong, just control was very good, missing barrels, velo was solid at 92-ish, up to 94 at one point. I love what I saw from him.
Yeah, he was good to see. And like I said, nearly flawless, man. One inning pitch, two strikeouts, to fly out on that other one. Well, we got it done offensively as well. Big night breaking out for Greco. Mark, what'd you think about the offense?
Yeah, the offense in this game got off to a slow start. I mean, we were losing 4-1 going into the sixth inning. But John mentioned we want to see a little more out of Jackson Mayo. I agree with that. It wasn't a good weekend for him overall. He actually only had one hit on the weekend, but man, that one hit that he did have was pretty dang important. It was in the sixth inning. It was a double to right center field. And it drove in two runs, and it made this game a ball game again. Made the game 4-3. So shout out to Mayo for on what was probably his worst weekend of the regular season. Still had probably one of the most important hits of the entire weekend. So that was pretty sweet. Also being able to see a home run from Sebastian Greco, that's awesome. He just keeps putting up big numbers. Overall, I thought that there were some good things from the offense. Carlos Hakamek continued to produce with two base hits. He's been pretty awesome. So, overall, they did enough,
Absolutely, man. You talk about clutch hitting. Jock Peterson has made quite a career based off of big hits in the playoffs. I think not hitting so hot in the regular season, but clutch hitting can get you somewhere. That's all I need to say there.
That's true. And we know Mayo can produce in regular situations, but I'm glad that even on his worst weekend, he's still clutch when he needs to be. So
Absolutely.
I believe
Go ahead,
last year
Matt.
he had a walk-off home run too. Yeah, no, he's a guy for the big moment for sure.
Absolutely. Matt, what else stood out to you, bud?
Yeah, I mean the big moment of the day was that walk-off base hit by Bracke Laurie, and just want to highlight that moment, how amazing that was, especially with the heads-up base running from Lance Triple. As that ball was landing, Lance Triple was already rounding second and on his way to third, which was absolutely incredible. Really great heads-up base running. Typically you're not going to score first to, you're not going to score from first on a base hit that's just a bloop like that. But that was really great to see, and great to see for Bradke too, to get that big base hit and for the Bulls to win.
Absolutely, old Triple. He can pick him up and put him down. Really, really, really athletic for a catcher. We talked about that multiple times this season. John, what stood out to you?
I'll go ahead and couple with what I said on about Friday or Thursday's game. There, I did it too, guys. The two guys that I mentioned wanting to see more out of, both had statement games. Mayo, like you pointed out, Mark, with that double down the right field line, and then Greco with I think a double and a homer. The homer was a 2-run shot to take the lead, 5-4 in that game. They went a combined 0 for 8 on Friday and came out and delivered 4 huge RBIs for us in a game where, as Mark said, was that it was a quiet start offensively. So I'm definitely happy to see that. And honestly, less about the offense and just more about team chemistry and those kind of walk-off wins for them to happen. Two nights in a row, dude. Man, that had my heart racing, and I can only imagine sitting up here in Ohio on my couch watching the games, what that does for the guys in green and gold. That's really going to bring them together, and that really has there's a lot of potential for that to just kind of catapult us a little bit and just increase a chemistry in a clubhouse that's already really strong. So I'm interested to see how the rest of the season plays out, because I feel like our guys are riding high.
Absolutely. And you mentioned it was two very high emotional games back to back there that we end up coming out on top of. Real quick turnaround into our Saturday game. I messed this up, ladies and gentlemen at home. I even put the wrong days on the agenda, so that's why everybody's messing up. You can blame me. But this is going to lead us into Saturday. Like I said, high emotion. One team is fighting for their proverbial lives. The other team has now won the series and is trying to find that motivation, which we all know you want to go in and you want to win every game. But again, two high emotional nights. You coming out for this final one. Pitching was actually pretty stellar. I'll let Mark, you lead off this one on the pitching. What did you think with Jack Nedrow getting the start?
Yeah, I think it was definitely time for Jack Nedrow to get a start, because he had like a string of some really, really nice relief outings for us. And if you just look at how everybody was pitching as a whole, he was truly like the best option to start a game for us on a weekend series. And to see him do it and to see him have success the way that he did, 7 innings, only 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, no walks. I mean, he's that's the guy that, I kind of thought we were getting when we were getting a Division II All-American, and we've seen that from him all season, really. I mean, he's been great all season. I think he might have the second best ERA on the team. So he's been great all season, but to see him get that weekend starting role and to do well in it, because I know earlier in the year he was had a weekend start. I forgot, it may have been Villanova, obviously didn't go very well. It's part of what had him in the bullpen for a while, potentially. But man, he's definitely in a good groove right now, and it was really awesome to see him pitch like that.
Yeah, we mentioned it when we get tournament time, it's going to be really nice to have four guys that can go plus innings and distance for us, and it's kind of shaping out like we're going to have it. I did, just kind of notice this guy, seven pitchers all weekend, right? 3-2-2. It's got to be a season low.
Yeah.
And probably a season low for a couple of seasons, when you think about a series and pitcher usage. He did have a partner in that one, Jorge De Cardenas. John, I'll kick it to you. What'd you think about Nedrow and his partner there?
I'd like to, yeah, just add a little bit more about Nedra. This was his third start on the season, and his first two just didn't go as planned. You've got a guy who's been a starter predominantly his whole career. So we all knew that he had it in his, he had it in him to come out and deliver one of these performances. It wasn't a matter of if, but more a matter of when. And it's a shame that, you know, that quick turnaround you speak of, Adam, I think kind of affected our offensive performance, especially for the first 8 innings of the game. But while it's a shame to see him not get the run support that he deserved, the amount of resolve that he showed, you know, pitching is super mental in an already mental game. So for him to, you know, come out, get out of the first inning, which he had failed to do in his first two starts, and then go on and also, he gave up that home run, and I believe like the fourth inning, it was a two-run bomb. That's another opportunity for him to be like, dang it, you know, or to tuck his tail a little bit and regress. He didn't. He went three and a third strong, more strong innings, and provided the depth that we needed out of a starter, you know. And you mentioned like this, the seven pitchers. That is what we need to see more of, in my opinion, you know, because we just we don't have the depth needed to be throwing five, six guys out there every game. Do we have the ability to do that? Sure. But night in and night out, I don't believe we do. We're a young team that was pieced together with the first year head coach. But I really enjoyed watching Jack Nedrow. The kid is delivering on all cylinders on the mound for sure.
Absolutely. Certainly a stellar performance for him. Probably, I would say his season's best performance, this past Saturday. Matt, what'd you think about the pitching?
Yeah, don't want to go too much more on Jack's performance, even though it was great. But wanted to give a shout out to Jorge DeCárdenas. You know, last weekend he had a not last weekend, but the weekend before he had a pretty rough outing. For him to have a bounce back outing like he did, you know, he had two strikeouts, went 2 innings, only gave up one earned run. Really good to see. You know, you could easily you know, regress after an outing like he had last weekend, but instead, he really buckled up and really got back to his normal self, and really happy to see that for him.
Absolutely. It was a great turnaround performance for him. Well, offensively, we really didn't get enough guys to cross the plate. Left 11 bulls on base, ended up dropping the series 5-3. Matt, I'll let you start off on this one. What did you think when you looked at the offense? Again, as John pointed out, kind of sluggish, but I think the circumstances got us a little. What'd you think?
Yeah, and I think the one thing is that Charlotte really threw a lot of arms at us too. They were very desperate to win this ball game and didn't allow our batters to get comfortable with any one pitcher. You know, they used six total pitchers in that game, and they brought in a really good lefty at one point that ended up really shutting us down for a while. I believe his name was Chase Carson.
Yep.
You know, he shut us down for 4 innings and looked a little bit bleak at one point, but you know, at some point we did get our offense going a little bit in the ninth inning. Not enough to end up coming back all the way like we saw on Thursday and Friday, but again, it was great to see the overall fight from our guys. You know, they weren't giving up being down 5-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. You know, we really showed a lot going into that inning as well.
Absolutely. Listen, at the end of the day, I believe the tying, at least I know that at least the tying, but maybe even the winning run got to the plate in the ninth. So, I mean, did not give up at this one at all. Mark, what stood out to you, bud?
Yeah, I just think that it was good that even though it was like looking like it was pretty much over going into the ninth inning, trailing 5-0, and despite the emotional roller coaster that this weekend was, that they still had the energy in the bottom of the ninth to really make it a good game. And you're right, the tying run, or not that the go-ahead run actually was at the plate with only one out too. I mean, I think it was one out. Runners on second and third. I mean, and then bases loaded because they intentionally walked Greco. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, you know, challenging to see like that Jacob Green was up with one out and the bases loaded because he hasn't had much at bats this year. You know, when you have that important of an at bat, you want to have a hitter up who has a lot of reps. Jacob Green's a really good player. He had big stats at JUCO, but he hasn't had many at bats for us. So you preferably you'd want to see Puckett was originally in that spot, but he was pinch ran for. So it just happens sometimes. But then there was another player I think had a chance after Puckett. But yeah, I mean, you're not gonna. I don't think I've ever seen a team win on three walk-offs, 3 days in a row. I mean, if we would have somehow pulled that off, and that would have just I would have got bought a lottery ticket because like I've just never seen anything like that in my life. But it almost would have been too good to be true. And so I'm not upset at all at how it panned out, but it was just interesting that we almost had a chance to do that again.
Absolutely. Well, John, I'll let you finish this one off for us, man. What'd you think about offensively?
I think that the overall numbers doesn't speak to the whole picture. I think the fact that we had a chance to walk it off, in a game that we were offensively flat for 8 innings, just speaks wonders. It got me jacked up. I was real fired up watching that one, and it's good to see Pruitt and Betancourt with multi-hit days. There was a stretch where Pruitt's bat kind of got a little quiet, but it's wildly evident that he's back, because he's a key cog in our lineup and is proving to be a leader in our lineup day in and day out. So that's about all I have for offensive performances.
Absolutely. Well, what I really like to see from this series was, from last podcast, me and Jay Retcher, we talked about if adversity, right? Because we had the umpire issues and that we kind of let kind of derail us in that Rice series. And I felt like we had those umpire issues kind of reemerge again in that Friday game with that stuff going on at home plate. And so I just felt like our guys did a great job fighting that adversity, pulling something week to week and getting better. I think we faced another issue, and that is with teams that are successful and win. How do you get yourself up and motivated for a game that you don't need to win for the series? Or a game that may not necessarily be important. That's what LSU does well. That's what Florida does well. That's what, pick whoever you want in the top 10. They're probably from the SEC, but that's what they do well. They get themselves up to play every game, and that's how you end up being 31-3, that these records that we see from those guys. So again, that's just good to see, something to look forward to as we move forward. Well, we did get the series win. There was some other results from last week. ECU, does take 2-1 over UAB. Wichita State takes a sweep, or I'm sorry, FAU sweeps Wichita State. I'm sorry, did I say ECU or UAB? ECU won. UTSA 2-1 over Tulane, and then Rice.
Yeah, well, the way you're saying is confused. Two out of
Yeah,
three. Two out of three. They took two out of three.
I two out of three. I wrote this terribly in the agenda. So yeah, blame that one on me, everybody. It's okay. Anyways, ECU, FAU, UTSA, Rice, those are your series winners. FAU was the only sweep. There's three games, guys. We can all do the math. I'll just kind of go in order, guys. Pick something that just kind of stood out to you really quickly. Mark, what stood out to you about these last week's results?
Yeah, I had a feeling that Rice was going to win that series against Memphis just because they showed some pretty good momentum against us, winning those last two games of the series against us. And it's not like we played like terrible per se. I mean, they actually started to show something, and they have an incredible head coach now. I mean, David Pierce. I mean, this guy's been to Omaha multiple times as the University of Texas head coach, and now he's coaching Rice. I mean, coaching makes a huge difference, even in the middle of the season. He didn't recruit a single one of those guys, but he is making an impact already, just his presence alone. And so Matt brought Rice winning the series really stood out to me.
Yeah, that was crazy. Matt, what stood out to you, bud?
The series that really stood out to me was seeing FAU get the sweep. I really thought that Wichita State would have snagged at least one of those games. But that's a really big, s season or series sweep for FAU.
Absolutely. John, which series stood out most to you?
I would say I would probably agree with Mark. The Rice versus Memphis. I mean, Memphis is scrappy, but they're not great. and Rice is just continuing to put good performances together. I grew up being a UT being a UT fan, watching Rice and UT go at it. So it's good to, I think we're going to have our hands full with Rice moving forward in this conference, with Pierce at the helm. And just is it results or is it a trend? I'm thinking more it's a trend that we're starting to see them kind of trend up. But ECU is also getting hot now that conference play is here, you know, so gonna have to watch out for them as we always do.
Absolutely. I think there was two, and when you look at the standings, you'll kind of see this more. I think there was two kind of, watch out, because I think, like you said, it's a trend moment. So I think that Rice versus Memphis series and the ECU versus UAB series, I think those were really, really telling. But with that, we'll look at our picking. Like I said, true American comeback story, coming from worst to first. 1-3 last week, 4-0 this week. Mark also joined me in the 4-0 club. Matt struggled. He went one. He joined me in the 1-3. Joseph from X, we appreciate you playing along. 3-1, and then Jay, our guest from last week, was 3-1 as well. Overall, Joseph's leading it away, man. 6-2, followed by me at 5-3. Matt at 4-4. Jay 3-1. Mark 4-0. However, they are 1 week behind, but it's okay. We'll build them as we go. Before we get to those picks, though, I do want to look at the standings. I probably should have done that differently, but it's okay. UTSA, South Florida, Florida Atlantic, ECU, Charlotte, Tulane, UAB, Rice, Memphis, Wichita State. I think things are starting to shape out. Let's all kind of pick something that we think is kind of interesting to see here. Mark, what do you think? Which team is moving and shaking?
Yeah, I think East Carolina and Florida Atlantic are both very good teams. And I say that because Florida Atlantic has a ridiculous Friday night pitcher. His stats are insane. Trey Beard. They also have a dude that's like hitting over 400 even this deep into the season. And their coach has been there for a long time. He's just a really good coach. And then East Carolina is East Carolina. Not a lot needs to be said about them. And then what's interesting, just looking at the standings as a whole, is the fact that the three teams that are surrounding us, UTSA in front, FAU behind, ECU behind, we still have to play all of them. So this rest of the season is setting up to be very interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. John, is there a team that's kind of interesting to you on this one?
I think it's interesting that UAB and Tulane both started out as like conference front runners and they're falling out. So they're shaken, as you would say, Adam, if I'm getting that correctly. And then the movers, you know, I think Rice, you know, they could prove to be a dangerous team in the tournament, but also FAU and ECU that like Mark just pointed out are definitely moving. I want to highlight how important it is that we got the series win against Charlotte, you know, because if heaven forbid the wheels fall off and we're a fringe top five team, you know, we're still going to have that edge on Charlotte, giving us a pretty good seed in the tournament. And boys, it's just awesome seeing our name up there like this far into conference play. I mentioned us being 10-5 in conference, and that's the first time we've beaten four conference opponents in a series since what, 2018? Like, fellas, like that's something that right alone I'm happy about. But yeah, that series win against Charlotte is huge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Matt, which team stands out to you, and what are you looking at?
Yeah, a couple of things I think that are really interesting is the teams immediately behind us. There's three teams currently that sit at 9-6. Really got a log jam when it comes to, you know, third place in our conference. You know, FAU, ECU, and Charlotte. I think it'll be really interesting to see how that ends up shaking out as the season progresses. But another thing I'm really keeping an eye out for too is the bottom four. You know, they're all separated by one game. You got UAB and Rice at 5-10, and then you got Memphis and Wichita State at 4-11. Really important to keep an eye on that because, you know, only two of those four teams end up making the conference tournament. And you know, we've seen in the past that, you know, some of the lower, or I don't know how you say it, lower or higher seeds in the conference tournament end up making a run at it. We've seen it with Tulane in the past. We've seen us as a sixth seed win the conference tournament. So I think it's going to be really important to see who those final two teams are that end up making the tournament.
Absolutely. Big things for me is East Carolina is finally going to beat East Carolina. I think what's happened to them is they lost the safety net of having that at-large bid in their pocket, and they got desperate, and they're going to start turning it around. I think we're going to see them shoot up. They're going to be a tough matchup for us. And then don't look now, but Rice is going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
This guy thought they were dead in the water before conference play. I did not know what was going on with that. And you know what? Kudos to them because they made an unconventional move that I don't think anybody really knows what happened by not just letting the guy go, but then bringing in the next guy and being like, hey, here are the keys, man. Get it right now. And they're doing it, which David Pierce is a good coach. And that's what you do with a great coach. You let him do his thing, and that's what he's doing. They've also got some good players, man. There's a 6'6" or 6'5" freshman up there that just looks like an absolute beast. He's going to be something to look out for as we move forward. But without further ado, let's look at our pick'em. For this week, we are each going to pick one game and kind of give our pick for it, and then we will post our remaining picks on social media. So be on the lookout for that. Also, post your picks on social media as we will track them and get beat by the fans of the Bruin at McEwen podcast. But that's okay. We like for you to play along. So what I'll do is I'll kick this to a co-host at random, let them pick a game, and then we'll all just kind of give the pick as we go, and then I'll take whichever one is left. Does anyone have one they're extremely, extremely passionate about?
I think for me,
Go ahead, Matt.
I think Rice is going to continue to stay hot. UAB is a team that's struggled, I think, pretty much for the whole conference play. I think I'll go with Rice beating UAB.
All right, that's a great pick. Mark, you were about to speak. Did you have one? Or was
Yeah.
that it?
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. So
Okay.
that works out good. I wanted to mention the FAU and Charlotte series. Where do you know where that's going to be?
I believe it's at Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting because FAU is starting to play really well. And I think FAU, like top to bottom, is probably a better team than Charlotte. But with Charlotte being at home and coming off of a series loss, where they played pretty good against us. I mean, we were fortunate to win by one run each of those nights. That's good. That's probably the series of the week, other than ours. I'm gonna go with Charlotte take 2 out of 3 at home.
All righty, Charlotte. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Well, we got two games remaining, John. Which one stands out to you, and who are you going to pick?
So, do we not pick USF in Wichita?
No,
No.
I think we would all pick us.
Okay.
So I will go ahead and go with UTSA. I think they sweep Memphis at home, but the Charlotte FAU series. Matt mentioned three teams being 9-6 in the conference. I wanted to add this in on the last part of the standings. ECU is 0-3. They got swept by FAU and they lost 2 of 3 to Charlotte. So those head-to-heads are going to play a huge role in conference standings. And then now you've got the two teams outside of ECU facing off this week. Man, that's going to be electric. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Again, it's going to be one of those separating series, as we'll call it, right? Where we figure out who's going to be where.
Yeah.
Well, that leaves the final game to me. I got East Carolina, who will be hosting Tulane. Interesting series for me, but I think it's programs in different directions. We saw Tulane at the top of the beginning. I think they're moving down. We saw ECU at the bottom. I think they're moving up. I picked against the norm. I figured ECU was gonna turn this thing around because they absolutely had to. I think they're gonna roll with it, and I'm gonna take ECU at home in the jungle to finish that one off. Like I said, we are going to post our remaining picks and fill it out and post that on X. And please feel free to post your picks as well. We will now move on to the midweek. It will be a Wednesday midweek because we've kind of gotten used to Tuesday midweeks. We'll get a midweek one. This is a return matchup with Bethune-Cookman. Bethune is 24-16, 17-9 at home, which is where this will take place, I believe, right? Yes. 9-1 in their last 10. I do believe 10-1 in their last 11. Are on a home win streak of 6 games. So again, they are rolling a lot of conference games as of late, as they are 16-2 in their conference. When you look at their quadrants, most of their wins coming from quad four teams, only 2-4 quad three, and no wins from quad one and quad two. We did have a matchup with them earlier. Was a bit of a slugfest, ended up being a 9-7 victory for the Bulls. John, I'll let you take this one, man. What kind of notes did you have for the Bulls fans to look out for as we watch this midweek?
So they had three players last in our previous matchup that had multi-hit games. Andrew Martinez, their right fielder, went 3 for 5. He was slugging the ball pretty good. And also Armani Dutton and Jose Fernandez. But also one thing that I think could end up being a saving grace from this being a trap game is the fact that Bethune-Cookman is going up against Jacksonville tonight. That game's in progress right now. And their go-to midweek starter is Pablo Torres. And he got the nod for tonight's game. That really only leaves like there's only two other guys on the roster that have had a start outside of their weekend rotation and Pablo Torres. So while we're gonna have to bear down and really swing the bats well again, they're gonna have to as well because we're facing a bullpen that really didn't show much last time we faced them. And I mean, like you said, Adam, they're facing quad four and quad five opponents, and they're gonna see a shift change when they see our bats, I think for sure. So it's gonna be a slugfest, but I think that as long as we keep doing the small things right and play our game, we really should be able to escape with a win quite easily against this one.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to be a big one. Look, we our bullpen should be rested. We talked about what we did this past weekend, but we
Absolutely.
don't necessarily need to throw any of our big weekend arms, but we also don't need to drop this game. So that means our bats really need to come out on fire. Winning a slugfest is not going to be the end of the world for us. I think we need to come out, maybe try for that. Because we do have a weekend series that's coming up. That could also be a bit of a trap game. The last time we saw the Bulls travel on the road against a bottom of the conference opponent, call a spade did not go well for the Bulls. Now, some differences there. It's not Rice, it's not David Pierce. I think Wichita State is on a different trajectory than Rice is. I know, John, you mentioned you had some information on the pitching that we could be seeing. What should Bulls fans be watching out for?
Really, as a staff, they've got a 6 point, almost a 7 ERA. We're not really going to be facing really live arms, and their starting rotation has remained the same throughout all five conference matchups. Your Friday night guy is going to be a redshirt senior Grant Adler, sporting a 6 ERA. Batters are hitting 274 against him. He's allowed the second most homers on the team. And coming in behind him are going to be Aaron Arnold, who's a right-handed junior, 7.36 ERA. He's allowed the most homers on the team, and has the least amount of innings pitched, 316 batting average against. And Brady Hamilton is looking for his first win. He's a sophomore right-hander, and also sporting around a 300 batting average against. He's allowed the least amount of extra base hits amongst those three. But I think the biggest thing is that as a staff, we're going to be facing a struggling pitching staff, and we've all commented on this. Helen Keller can see that we're better against right-handed arms than left-handed arms, and we're facing three right-handed starters going into the weekend, and I think that's something to be excited about. I think our boys are going to rally on the road, and hopefully, if we don't sweep, hopefully we can get two out of three and just stay hot going into the tougher conference play, because we don't have a slouch midweek opponent next week. I think we come home to Stetson, and that's in DeLand, I'm pretty sure. And then we've got the bulk like FAU, UTSA, and ECU coming. We can't help but to look ahead at that. So I think we need to take advantage of the right-handed arms we're going to be facing, and keep doing what we've done well all season long.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll kick it to you, Matt. What are you looking for in this series?
Yeah, I think the one thing that might be a little bit deceptive about Wichita State is the overall Well, the fact that their overall strength of schedule is the 19th best strength of schedule in the country. I know they have struggled in conference play to date, but they've definitely played a pretty tough schedule this year. I think that like any of these teams, you can't sleep on any of them. We got to show up and we got to play our game and do the small things right and come away with a series win, or hopefully we get a sweep.
Absolutely. Mark, what do you find interesting here?
For me, I'm really just looking at getting back on track with road games. I mean, we had a long stretch there where we were playing a lot of road games. I think before we came home to face Charlotte, we had played 7 out of 8 games on the road, and we had seen some pretty poor performances from our team. If you combine the Florida State game, you look at the end of the Rice series, there was a couple others in there too that were not good. And I do think it has something to do with being on the road. I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, especially first year team kind of just gelling and the road trips and just kind of I don't know. I think we can do better on the road. And I think that when you're playing a team like Wichita who's been struggling, and maybe it's a good opportunity to get your confidence with road trips back. I mean, you look back to the very first road trip of the season at Georgia Southern. That went really well, and we won that series. Let's get back to that, because ultimately, the way that this season is going, if we do make a regional, it's not going to be a home regional, okay?
I was going to
So
say, yeah.
it's going to be a road regional. So if you want to go anywhere this season, you got to learn how to play on the road. This is a great time to start.
Yeah, I was going to say it's important because, we have a bit of a luxury in the sense that our conference tournament is in Clearwater. So that's not technically a road series for us. But every other team in the country is generally traveling from about conference tournament on. Everything's on the road, well, I guess, unless, you do get some hosts
Look,
right there, except for 16 teams, right?
I mean, if
Yeah.
we were number 15 in the RPI right now, which
Right.
is probably very possible in the future with Coach Machanz, but this season it's not,
It's
because
not right.
we're like number 80 right now, which is fantastic compared to where we've been in years past. No, if we make a regional this year, it's going to be on the road. So we need to learn how to play on the road. So let's get to it.
Absolutely. And it is going to be an opportunity, as John pointed out, for our hitters to really kind of feast if they take that opportunity. We have seen them kind of get a little cold at times when we've maybe expected them to go off, but hey, no better time of the present to get things right. Does anybody have any final thoughts on Wichita before we move on to our social media questions? No, good, awesome. Well, be on the lookout for that. That series will be on ESPN Plus, as all AAC games and series are. It will be in Wichita, so if anyone's traveling, pack your jackets. I think it's cold. I don't really know what the weather is in Kansas because I don't plan on going because I feel like it's cold. But with that, we will move on to our social media questions. Again, we try to get these posted out. Post them. We will answer them to the best of our abilities. And so, again, we thank Nancy. She posted a couple of questions, a couple others as well. I do apologize if I can't remember all of our posters, but again, keep those coming. We will start with one from Nancy that was about ranking the top 10 pitchers. We're gonna cut it to 8 for time purposes. We'll cut it to 8. But Mark, I will let you take this one, man. Based on what you've seen so far, rank our top 8 pitchers.
Yeah, and look, it's not even time. It is it's just like we I have 8 guys
I
that
tried.
I know you try to soften the blow, but I'm gonna be realistic here. Like, I have seen 8 guys this season that have like consistently shown me like progress and or just consistent production. Now the guys outside of this top 8, I have seen great moments where they look fantastic, but just a little bit too much inconsistency. And I would absolutely love a few weeks from now to give an expanded top 10 because of more consistent performances down this depth chart. But as of today, this is what I've got. Number 1, I got Corey Braun. Obviously, he's the Friday night ace. He's on the National Pitcher of the Year watch list from the College Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Number two, Jack Nedrow. He's just gradually gotten better as the season goes on. I think this is like his fourth year of college ball, maybe his fifth. I think fourth. But I mean, he made so many starts at his prior stop, Lee University, and now to see him being a starter for us is really exciting. Number three, I got Bryce Archie. Just shout out to him, most improved player. Last season when he made his collegiate baseball debut, if you look at his numbers from last year, they were not good. It was because he was rusty. He was doing a lot with spring football. It was just tough for him. But man, 3.41 ERA right now, 31 and two-thirds innings. Every time he's on the mound, you're going to see scouts out there checking out his 95 plus mile per hour fastball. He's been awesome. Number four, I'm being a little aggressive here in terms of the eye test and just what I think we'll see rest of season. I got Austin Newton. And I say that because he's gradually coming back. He went 30 pitches his first time. He had 45 pitches this time. Watch him maybe do 60 or more next time. And before you know it, he's every day, weekend starting pitcher for this team. Could be really important as the season progresses. And then number five, I got Jorge DeCárdenas, 35 and a third inning. He's ate up a lot of innings for us. And honestly, outside of that one outing a couple weeks ago, which was just, I felt bad for him, man. I mean, he's such a good pitcher. He's such a good dude. Like he's a stud, Like every outing he's had besides that has been very impressive. Honestly, not every, but a lot of them have been very impressive. And his season numbers are kind of thrown off by that. But I mean, he's still a top five pitcher for this team right now because of the fact that he can be stretched out and the fact that he's got the velocity and talent that he does. Number six, I got Landon Yorick. Really like what I've seen from him out of the bullpen. He just has the right mindset for being a closer. He's got the right mindset for coming in stressful situations at the end of the game. And I love the way that even though things didn't go his way in the ninth inning this past weekend, he came back in the 10th inning and shut Charlotte down. That was huge. So number seven and number eight. These are the last two guys that I'm going to give the nod for showing consistent good performances throughout the season. Number seven, I'm doing Nolan Bernard, the true freshman. I really like what I've seen from him. His ERA, 4.58, pretty good. But if you look a little deeper, you'll see how good he's actually doing. He's holding opponents to a 2.27 batting average. He's got a 1.19 whip. The only thing that is probably part of why his ERA is a little high is he hasn't hit a team high eight batters. That could just be freshman nerves, just freshman inexperience. I mean, once he overcomes that, I mean, he's a guy that I envision starting on in the weekend for USF next season and the season after that. I mean, he's got the physical frame and he's got the right just confidence on the mound for somebody to take on a job like that. And the last guy that I'll around the top eight for showing some good consistency this season. He's even had a couple rough outings here and there, but overall I like what I'm seeing from him. Matt Goldenbaum, I just like the fact that he'd come in as his first year of pitching ever. He was a redshirt freshman and hitting 95 miles per hour. Made a few starts for us. Had a three inning outing against Tulane where he held them to no runs. Had a three inning outing against Stetson, only one run allowed. I like what I'm seeing from him. I think that he's going to keep progressing as the season goes on. And as for the rest of the pitching staff, I love all those guys. I've seen some good things out of them. I just want to see more consistency from the rest of the group. And then I can give you all a top 10 next time.
Absolutely. Basically, what we're saying is, Nancy, we have eight. You could fill those other two with whoever else you want to really put, because they're all kind of vying for that. Kind of like a play-in, like the playoffs in the NBA,
Exactly.
play-in tournament. They're all in that. Well, we will move on to Nancy's second question. Matt, going to kick it to you. We saw Puckett at cleanup this weekend. What did you think of that, and what did you think brought that along?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what Puckett did as a freshman last year, he was one of the only guys on our team with over a 900 OPS. So, he's got the pedigree. We've seen him hit some really deep home runs, hit the ball extremely hard. It's a guy that if the ball does not get caught, there's a good chance that there's going to be some production with it, whether that be a double, a home run. There's some opportunities for him to drive in runs, and he hasn't necessarily been his usual self this season. He's had some good moments, but with the fact that we had three righties starting each game this past weekend, it did make sense to get him in there. Now, in terms of putting him at cleanup, I don't know if I 100% agree with that, especially when you consider more recent results. But ultimately, when you look at a guy like Rafi who struggled early on in the season after having a great season last year, and you see him come back and really be our best hitter the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's sometimes it's just a little thing that can get a guy back on track, and maybe an opportunity batting cleanup was that potential opportunity for him.
Absolutely. I remember there was like a period last season where I think Puckett came in and had a couple big pinch hit home runs. Like, I don't think he was starting, but he came in and had some big late inning home runs. So we have seen the power from him in the past. We'll move on now to our third question. This comes from USF Baseball Season on X. Again, I apologize earlier, but we appreciate you watching the show and appreciate your question, which was what happened to Rose? Dude rakes. Puckett seems to have nailed down third. I think I'll take this one. I think it comes down to platooning. I think when you look at the infield, Brad Keelory is obviously a shortstop because of what he can do with the glove. It's not necessarily what he can do at the plate. So he's going to be at that shortstop position. Hakame has really kind of nailed down second base. And is hitting the ball well. Greco's at first. You don't really have anywhere to do, move Puckett in at first because you think if you're going to do anything, you're going to move Pruitt in because we've got some outfielders that they'd probably like to get some more at bats that they're not. And so it's just a log jam with guys that can hit. And so you have to platoon it. I thought we saw three righties this weekend, which really limited the opportunities for Rose. We did see him get into the game on Sunday. But I think that's just where we're at right now. I think we're going to be platooning Rose. I think if we see a lefty starter, expect to see him out there as we try to get more righties in those lineups. As John pointed out, lefties have been a bit of a bugaboo for us, and so we kind of would need all the best right-handed hitters we can get in the lineup at that point as possible. And so I just think that's what you saw this weekend. Just a lot of righties. You know what? Hey, as John pointed out, we're facing a lot of righties this weekend as well. So you could see a lot of Puckett at third, and it might not be as many opportunities for Rose. But I think what's going to be important is if he does get those at bats late against those lefty relievers that come in, they're going to be important at bats. And I'm going to feel really good about the fact that it's Matt Rose taking those at bats and taking those opportunities for us. Which leads us to our final question, also from USF Baseball Season. John, this one goes to you. Are we settling in on a weekend starters, Braun, Newt, and Nedro? Is that your rotation? Do you have any to add? What you got for us, John?
I think, first of all, I think it's great that we're even having this conversation because getting away, let me disclaimer, the opener situation was a hell of a coaching move by Hannes, and he implemented it when we needed it the most. It saved our season and really got some clutch wins for us, and honestly, showed us a side of pitchers that we weren't expecting this season. We weren't expecting Bryce Archie to be a bullpen arm. We saw the versatility of Nedrow. We got a lot. But yeah, I think that it's great that we're getting towards having a set rotation. And I do believe that those three names that they listed, Corey Braun, every week is going to be our Friday night guy. He's top 10 in the conference in ERA. I think the question mark is does Bryce Archie stay in the bullpen or does he become a starter? I think come conference play, it's all hands on deck, and I think that all four of them can be listed as starters because we're going to need as many arms as we can get. But I think that if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think Archie's really comfortable in the role that he's in, and he comes in and cleans up. So I'm going to stick with Big Newt as our Saturday guy. And it is never questionable, Mark, to go off the eye test for Big Newt. That's my guy. And I like the ranking you gave him. I think that he ends up even higher as the series goes on. He's really getting stretched out. I think that he's probably fully stretched out by the second week in May when we have UTSA. And I think that's a home series, could be a huge weekend. And then Jack Nedrow, he's top 10 in hits allowed, top 10 in batting average against. And now that he's gotten that first start under his belt, I think that we're looking at a pretty solid rotation and a great problem to have, with four potential guys that are starting caliber, but also have the versatility to pitch out of the pen as well. Newton was projected to be our stopper of the year preseason. It was projected to be our back end bullpen guy, and now he's a weekend starter. Some of Jack Nedrow's best appearances have been out of the pen, but now he's our Sunday starter, and Corey Braun's just mowing like always. But yeah, I think we're pretty settled on the weekend rotation with Braun, Newton, and Nedrow. I really like it.
That's crazy. It's that, you just wonder, like, in an alternate universe, if Nedra was healthy at the beginning of this year, where we're at and what our record's looking like, because just everything would have fell into place from day one. But like you said, Coach Hanna's fantastic coaching job. Well, everybody, that's going to bring us to the final thoughts portion, as we have really covered a lot of ground here with you tonight. Guys, any final thoughts for it? I will start with Mark. What do you got, bud?
Just enjoying, like seeing our team near the top of the AAC standings. And my number one final thought is just the remainder of this season is just going to be the best part of this season. I mean, you're going to see us have a big road trip this weekend. Don't worry about where Wichita State is ranked in the conference. They're at home. They played a really difficult schedule this year, top 20 schedule in the country. They're always good. That's going to be interesting. And then you look at all the series after that. I mean, we're playing the first place team. We're playing the two teams that are tied for third. It's just going to be electric down the stretch. So that's my final thought.
I absolutely agree with you there. Matt, what do you have for your final thoughts, man?
Yeah, just going off of what John said last about the rotation, really interested to see how that situation continues to unfold. I think John was right in saying that I think we found our right guys in that rotation setting. And just to continue to see Austin Newton, see how he continues to progress and see how he builds up. And I think that if the season started with Newton being healthy, I think he probably would have been in the rotation. And like you said, Adam, we probably would have been in a maybe even a little bit better situation, even though we're in a great situation right now. But to finally have that full, lineup of rotation ready to go, I'm really excited for.
Absolutely. Well, John, do you have any final thoughts, man?
Yeah, I would say ultimately, thank you, Coach Hanna's. We've waited a long time for pedigree baseball like this, and it's been well worth the wait. Thank you for coming in and against all odds implementing a culture that we haven't had in years, and backing up your talk with creating an identity for this team, because when we get off that bus in Kansas, they're going to know exactly who the hell we are, and they're going to fear us, and that really fires me up. So I just want to tip my hat to Coach Hannes for putting this team together, getting these guys to play on the same island, getting them to play mad, and implementing a culture like I haven't seen in 4 years at Bruin in his first year as head coach. It really speaks wonders on him as a coach, him as a person. And I envy these guys that they get to play for a coach of that caliber. So I tip my hat to Coach Hannes for sure.
Absolutely, very appreciative of him. Bulls fans, my final thoughts are, it's been a roller coaster season. We've had a walk-off grand slam from Pruitt, and then we've had, the debacle in Houston. But I can promise you the best is yet to come. It's going to get real exciting down the stretch for USF and for USF baseball. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. With that, Bulls fans, please make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast on all the platforms that you're listening to us. Again, no home games coming up, so make sure you're keeping a track on ESPN Plus. Also, it is Kansas. They might have some weather issues, so follow the socials if you're not for any schedule changes that might occur. And with that, we will talk to you later, Bulls fans. As always, go Bulls.
The Bulls.
Go Bulls.